from our Nepal correspondent, a regular series of articles by Dr. Balmukunda Regmi. Non-alignment foreign policy reaffirmed. The framer of Nepal's present-day foreign policy, founding king Prithvi Narayan Shah, observed Nepal as a yam between two boulders, China and India. He instructed Nepalis, "Great friendship should be maintained with the Chinese Empire. Friendship should also be maintained with the British Indian Emperor beyond the Southern Seas." In the course of time, as a part of survival measures, Nepal entered into a special relationship with the southern neighbour through the 1816 Treaty of Sigauli. When Great Britain left India, the latter inherited the role of the British India through the 1950 India-Nepal Treaty of Peace and Friendship. The decolonization movement followed the Second World War. Nepal was never colonized, but unfair terms imposed over her did not end with the disintegration of the British Empire. Aiming to diversify foreign relations, the Rana rulers established diplomatic relations with the USA in 1947. Our diplomatic drive continued. Nepal joined the United Nations and established diplomatic relations with China, both in 1955. These steps further solidified Nepal's status as an independent country. Nepal actively participated in the 1955 Bangdong Conference that embraced five principles of Panchashil, based on the teachings of Gautam Buddha. Directly or indirectly, Nepal has been seeking an escape to the existing special relation with India. Addressing the UN General Assembly in 1960, Prime Minister B.P. Koirala said, "Nepal judged every international issue on its merit, without consideration of anybody's fear or favour." An attempt to correct course, indeed. Nepal became a formal member of the Non-Aligned Movement in 1961. In 1975, King Birendra proposed to make Nepal a zone of peace, which garnered the support of over 130 countries out of the then existing 135 countries, but could not get support from India or Russia. This idea was put in limbo with the introduction of a multi-party system in 1990. These efforts can be viewed as an extension of the instructions of King PNS. The collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991 gave way to the US-led unipolar world order, ending the Cold War and fizzling out the core concept of the non-aligned movement. Slowly, Europe, East Asia, and Africa tried to develop regionalism. Countries like China, India, South Africa, and Russia began to make the world multipolar. Yet the US-led NATO absorbed the former Soviet-led Warsaw Pact members and former Soviet republics, pushing its territory toward the Russian border. Meanwhile, the equilibrium of global power balance has changed. It has drifted away from the US. Disgraced, Russia had a deep resentment against the US. Vladimir Putin successfully capitalized on this nationalist sentiment, healed the economic problems, and began to defend Russian interests, challenging the American domination. Meanwhile, the US debt continued to increase. Her rival, China, became the second largest world economy, the first largest in terms of purchase power parity, her advances in technology already nearing those of the US. Nuclear weaponry does not remain a US monopoly. Russia, France, China, UK, Pakistan, India, and North Korea also have it. Any nuclear power is unlikely to yield to undue external pressures. The limit of US influence is also demonstrated by her leaving UNESCO, first in 1984 over supposed corruption and ideological bias. She joined again in 2002, and leaving again in 2017. These events indicate the world is heading towards multipolarity. Nepal's foreign policy is decided more by geopolitical factors than by the interests of her political leaders. Whatever PNS advised, faced with a strong British wave, the Rana rulers aligned with Britain. Looking back, it was the only survival kit available at that moment. The adoption of the non-alignment policy and the zone of peace proposal were indeed course correction attempts. At a time when the world has become multipolar, where our neighbours China and India play key roles, Nepal's interaction and cooperation with the US, China and India have intensified. After much consideration, Nepal participated in the China-led Belt and Road Initiative and the American Millennium Challenge Corporation. In doing so, the Nepali stance was clear: yes to economic cooperation. Recently, Nepal had to sort out whether the non-alignment policy and the state partnership program were compatible. Now, the State Partnership Program, or SPP, has its roots in the successful 1991 US experience in the Baltic region. The strategy paired US states with three nations emerging from the former Soviet bloc. The SPP has become a key US security cooperation tool, facilitating cooperation across all aspects of international civil military affairs and encouraging people-to-people ties at the state level. The SPP says it is partner-focused, strategically aligned, and facilitates broader interagency and corollary engagements, spanning military, government, economic, and social spheres. As authorized by the government of Nepal, the Nepal Army requested the establishment of a National Guard SPP for Nepal in the aftermath of the 2015 earthquake, seeking logistic and training support to cope with disaster. Later, considering the SPP as strategic, the government of Nepal directed the Nepali Army to withdraw from it. Whether it be a part of the Indo-Pacific strategy or not, the SPP was and is a strategic program. Here, the Nepali stance is clear: no to strategic cooperation. Given the non-alignment policy has remained our long-term survival kit, nobody in the government, the bureaucracy, or the army can be supposed to go against it. Blame games and fault findings will not help. At a time when we're trying to solve an existing unfair treaty with India, we need to be careful not to make similar mistakes with any power. So far, our neighbours need not to overreact. Nepal is aware of the geopolitics. We know that non-alignment policy best meets our interests and promotes regional peace and cooperation. An interesting regional history lesson there, and we give gracious thanks, as ever, to our Nepal correspondent, Dr. Balmukunda Regmi, Professor of Pharmacy at Tribhuvan University, Kathmandu. Is there a subject you'd like to hear Dr. Regmi's opinion on? Would you like to feedback on these programs? Please get in touch. You can email info@bewaretheradio.com, or you can find us on social media.